Good morning, everybody. So happy that you're here today. This past week, someone said to me, they said, "Man, you've been on fire the last few weeks." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you this, it's an exciting time in this church. There are lots of wonderful things that God is doing in the lives of the people here in this place, and so it's contagious. Whenever you are tapped into what you see God doing in the lives of people. And so I hope you're beginning to feel that and sense that God is really moving and doing some things here. Now, I'll tell you something. We're not a perfect church, but you know what? There are no perfect churches. We'll never be perfect. But you know, all we can hope for and wish for is that we're all moving forward together. And so I encourage you to be a part of this movement of God as we're all trying to move forward in our individual Christian walk and together as a church, because this is a place where everybody is important. Every person, every child, every adult, no matter your age, no matter your background, your ethnicity, no matter where you've come from, everybody is valuable and is important here in this place, because we are the body of Christ. And He died for each one of us. And so this is the place to be. And so if you're looking for a church home, you're visiting with us, we just want you to be a part of this family. And so we'd like to talk to you some more about it if you're interested in knowing more. If you got any questions, we just want to be an open book for you. Now, I just want to say we've got a lot of things, again, going on today. That's a great problem to have as we're moving forward as a gathering of God's people. But one thing I want to mention to you is that you know, we're getting back in the regular routine, or at least about to. Those of us that have been on vacation, we've been traveling all over, school's been out. Well, we're about to get back to real life here at the beginning of August as school starts back, and we're going to start getting back into regular habits of life and regular rhythms of what's going on in our everyday life. And so I want to say to you, this is a great time to get back in the habit of coming to Bible class if you've gotten out of that habit. This is not a guilt trip. This is not to indict anybody. We're all, you know what, I don't look behind. I just look ahead. And I say, you know what, if you've gotten out of the habit, now's a great time to start back. We're going to have a brand new quarter of classes that will start beginning next Sunday, a great listing of options of classes for you to go to, and you can find that out in the foyer. That list is there. It was also in the bulletin, the e-bulletin this week. And so I encourage you to get started back in Bible classes if you've gotten out of the habit, starting next week. We start a new quarter. We've been talking for the last few weeks, and we're going to wrap up a series today on the topic of real life discipleship. Now, when we think about this concept of real life discipleship, here's really what it boils down to. Jesus could not have been any clearer about what our mission is. Just before He left this earth, before He ascended back to the Father, He looked at His disciples and He said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So Jesus is real clear that our mission as individual disciples, our mission as a gathering of God's people, is about making disciples. Now, making disciples means that we go and find people that don't know Jesus, and we share with them Jesus, and then we walk with them and teach them, coach them, instruct them, hold them by the hand, and help them to learn how to obey Him and follow Him. But making disciples is not something that ends when a person comes out of the waters of baptism. Disciple making is something we are all engaged in from now on, being crafted to be more like Jesus every day that we live, being transformed into His image. And so the charge to make disciples is not limited to just simply going and finding people, although it is inclusive of it, finding people that don't know Jesus and teaching them about Jesus. It is coaching each other to continually be made into disciples more and more every day. Now, Jesus was pretty clear here that the way you make disciples, first, He says, you got to go. This might be translated as you are going. In fact, what He's saying is, as you go about the regular routine of your life, As you're encountering people, investing in the lives of people, you need to be making disciples. And he says the way you make a disciple is you got to obviously introduce someone to Jesus or have a spiritual conversation with someone that is on the path to following Jesus, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then continue to walk with them in teaching them to observe or to obey, rather, the commands of Jesus. And so we're going to conclude the series today on real-life discipleship. We're going to be returning to this theme. If you've been paying attention, you know I've talked about this for the whole 7 years that I've been here at Maryville, about discipleship. We keep returning to the theme, and you say, why do you keep returning to this? Well, we're going to return to it again, I'll just tell you. Because this is our mission. So if this is our mission, we can't talk enough about it and remind ourselves of what we're really supposed to be about. Now, throughout this series, I've tried to demonstrate that the best way to make disciples is through intentional relationships. And so today, I want to share with you a lesson called What is Relational Discipleship? Because I'm convinced that to make somebody into a disciple, it requires some intentionality and it requires an investment in relationships. And so I don't think you have to go any further than the passage that was read today for us in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8 to see that that's the case. Now, I want you to look carefully at what Paul says. He says to these believers, just like a nursing mother cares for her children. Paul is describing the way he went about making disciples. He said it's just like a mother caring for her children. It is like being a spiritual parent. And then listen to what he says. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So how do we make disciples? By investing in a person's life, sharing the gospel with them, but also sharing our lives with them. What is that? That is intentional relationships. Intentional relationships for the purpose of discipleship. And so Paul is pretty clear here about what the best method is. He's just following the example of Jesus, the best method for making disciples. Now, but the question that I know you're sitting there thinking, because I've been talking throughout this series about intentional relationships, and you're sitting there thinking, that's just words. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, today my task in this final lesson is to try to help you to understand what that really looks like practically. Exactly what is relational discipleship? Well, in the first place, let me say that disciples are made, and this is the point I've been trying to make, but let me drill down in it a little bit more. Disciples are made by intentional relationships. Disciples of Jesus don't just happen. Disciples of Jesus have to be handcrafted. And without true relationships, real life discipleship is not possible. I want you to hear me clearly on this. You can be religious by yourself. A lot of people are religious all by themselves. But you cannot be a disciple of Jesus without being in relationships with other people. You can't. And you say, how do you know that? Because the whole point of the gospel, when Jesus sums it up, has to do with relationship with God that leads to relationships with others. The two greatest commands in Matthew 23, 24 is to love God with everything you got and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Relationship with God that is designed to lead to relationships with other people. The Bible consistently impresses upon you and me this truth. Back in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, the Bible teaches two are better than one. When Jesus sent out his disciples on the limited commission, how did he send them in Mark 6? He sent them out in twos. And the early church followed that model in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, being directed by the Holy Spirit himself. So when Jesus gave us our mission, notice what he did not say. Jesus did not say, church, go out into the world or announce to the world and tell them, come to church. The church, the gathering of you and me, of disciples, is for worship and encouragement. Jesus said our mission is to go. As you are going and investing in the lives of people in your everyday walk of life, make disciples out there. So to make disciples, we have to not tell them to come, we have to go to where people are and invest in intentional relationships with them. Now, let me kind of show you what this looks like in what I'm going to call discipleship groups and the importance of discipleship groups. I'm convinced that based upon the example of Jesus and how Paul followed it, as we see it throughout the New Testament, that disciple making requires a smaller, more intimate setting. If we're going to move away from consumer Christianity, if we're going to move away what we talked about last week in cultural Christianity, and really make genuine disciples of Jesus, we have to get into smaller gatherings of people. By definition, the church, the Greek word ekklesia, means a gathering. Now hear that. The word church, in your English Bible, the word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It literally means an assembly or a gathering. Now what is the point? The point is this. Jesus knew that discipleship happens in relational contexts. He knew that. So much so that he died to purchase gatherings, the church. So we need to gather with other Christians in order to grow in our faith. Now let me show you how this kind of works, because the church gathers for a variety of purposes. On this chart here, I'm going to share with you how the church is designed in the New Testament to be a relational community that is on the mission of making disciples. And as you look at this this funnel, you'll notice at the top of the funnel, and by the way, this just traces how Jesus did disciple making. At the top, you've got public discipleship. This is Jesus, the public teacher. This is Jesus who spoke to the large crowd on the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus who spoke to large masses of people when he fed the 5,000. This is public discipleship. This is the large assembly, which today in the church we might call this gathering right here. The worship assembly, the large assembly where we see the early church in large numbers gathered in the temple complex that could accommodate large numbers, Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. We need this kind of discipleship. We need the mutual encouragement and edification of a large gathering of believers coming together for public discipleship, for worship. But I'm going to say to you that that's not really where disciple making happens. As we keep looking at the example of Jesus, we see that secondly, we might characterize the second strata on the funnel as social discipleship. This is when Jesus, for instance, was engaged in spiritual conversations with people socially, like his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at Bethany, or whenever he would many times instruct that large group, the 72 that he chose and sent out on that limited commission. This is social discipleship. The way the church does this today, I think, might be characterized as our Bible classes. In Bible classes, we have deemed necessary or important that the church gets together to devote ourselves to the apostles' doctrine, just like the early church did in Acts 2 and verse 42. So Christians have decided. By the way, Bible classes didn't even come on the scene until the 1780s in Great Britain with the Bible school movement. And some people resisted it at first. But the church said, you know, it's important for us to be educated, our children to be educated, for adults to be educated, to understand the instruction of the apostles' doctrine, and therefore it's a nice addition to our gatherings to gather together for that purpose, to educate disciples in Bible teaching. But again, you can be educated in your mind about Bible teaching and still not be actually practicing and living out discipleship. And so we need an even smaller group. Now, the next area, the next strata here is what might be called personal discipleship. Remember, Jesus took it down from the large crowds to the 72 down to choosing 12 disciples that we call the apostles. In personal discipleship, Jesus is investing in them in a more relational way. He's teaching them God's instruction, teaching the Bible, but he's personalizing it with Christian fellowship. Many churches for years now have been seeing the value of small groups. Small groups started, from the research I could come up with and find, is that the small group movement, at least as it's known in the American church, small groups have been going on forever, as long as the church has been in existence. But the small group movement began around the 1920s or the 1930s. The first Church of Christ to fully embrace small groups was the Church of Christ in Waterview, Texas, the Waterview Church of Christ. They began it in about 1967. But ever since that time, more and more churches have seen the value of personalized Christian fellowship for encouraging discipleship in the lives of people. Here at the Maryville Church, we've been doing small groups for the last 4 years. We started in October 2012. And I'll say to you that from the responses I've gotten from you from our surveys and from personal conversations, that many of you have said to me that before we started doing small groups, that we were a very disconnected church in a lot of ways. And a lot of you have said, now you'd make the determination for yourself, but a lot of you have said to me that since we've started doing small groups, it's the best thing we've ever done, and the result is that you know each other better than you ever have known each other before. And there's great value to that. So I want to say to you this morning, if you're here and you don't feel connected, the best way that we have to encourage you to be connected with other disciples in this church is our small group ministry, and I want to encourage you to join a group today. Today's the first day of our sign-ups for small groups. You can sign up out in the foyer. Some of you already have. It'll be today and then next Sunday, and then our first meeting in homes will be on August the 14th. So I want to encourage you to join a small group if you want to be connected. But you know what? If we want to really make disciples, we have to get even smaller than that. The next strata on the funnel is what might be called transparent discipleship, because Jesus chose 12 of his small group in personal discipleship, but of those 12, he got really connected with, in a transparent way, Peter, James, and John. His, what we've called his inner circle. I think Jesus is modeling something for us, that every one of us needs an inner circle. We all need an inner circle. I would call this the concept of discipleship groups. We all need a few other people that we can fully be transparent and real with. We can share our struggles with, confess our sins one to another, and pray for one another, and be involved in the process of trying to grow closer in our walk with Christ. So I want to introduce you today to the idea of really how real-life discipleship can happen is through discipleship groups. Now, I want to say more about that in just a second. Let me say the last area here is when Jesus had such a close relationship with God alone. This we might call Holy Spirit discipleship. This is your personal walk with God. And what this chart is representing is looking at the example of Jesus. Each one of these is important in your life and feeds down into, ultimately, creating a vibrant, deep, personal relationship with God. But you need the help of others in order to get there. And that's the concept that we're looking at here. But let's talk a little bit about that one there, the transparent discipleship or discipleship groups. I want to introduce you to this concept and talk just a few minutes about it. So what is a discipleship group? Basically, a discipleship group is a group of people, basically at least three people, no more than five people, I think is best. And many people have said this. Three to five people that are of the same gender, women with women, men with men, who meet together at least once a week to walk through discipleship living together, to encourage each other to grow and mature after the likeness of Jesus. So in relational discipleship groups, It's better than a small group, because in a small group you have anywhere from 12 to 18 people. And there's just no way to have the kind of transparency, or you even have the time, to go around and share and really be involved with an identified goal or plan of how you're going to grow in your discipleship. So discipleship groups is not a social gathering, it's not a Bible class, it's not even a support group. All of those have their places, but in a discipleship group, people are coming together into an intentional relationship for the purpose of real life learning, real life growing, real life practicing of discipleship and accountability to each other to encourage each other on that path. Discipleship groups are people who get together weekly and try to build their lives around Scripture. Build their lives around living Jesus. Not just believing in Jesus, but living Jesus. This is not a church program. And if you try to program it, you kill it. This is not a program-based effort. It is not an informational-focused effort. Much more than a Bible class, discipleship groups are a supportive, accountable environment for hands-on training in the Jesus life. That's discipleship groups. And so what we're talking about here is investing in each other and devoting ourselves to one another for that purpose. So when you enter into a relationship with somebody else for the intentional purpose of being made into a disciple, you are encouraging yourself and others to move forward in your maturity in Jesus, challenging each other personally, holding each other accountable, and helping each other along the way. If anybody can be in a discipleship group, you can form a discipleship group anytime. Anybody can do this on your own and be a self-starter and say, I just want to get with other people. And it can be anybody. It could be somebody that's outside of Jesus that you want to encourage them on their journey to discover Jesus. You could even be in a discipleship group with a church leader. Because we're all being made into disciples no matter where we are on that journey or anywhere in between. So in relational discipleship, you are intentionally making a commitment that you are going to commit to 3 to 5 other people for the purpose of personal relationship and investing in that person and in one another for spiritually growing and devoting yourself to their growth. Now, let me say that disciple making is not optional. This has to be a priority for every one of us. Because this is the singular mission Jesus gave. Now, I know, here's the biggest hurdle to this. In our busy world, all of us are, for the most part, are involved, really, even right now, in more things than we can get done in a week. Our schedules are filled to the brim. And that's true of each one of us personally. We have a hard time. I mean, let's admit, I don't know if I can get a witness or not, but all of us have a hard time, I think, scheduling our own lives. So it's even more difficult to find time to consistently meet with other people. It's a challenge, it really is. But I want to say to you and say to me this morning that we have to decide that this is a priority. That this is the most important thing that we could be doing in our faith walk. That this is the mission of Jesus. Disciple making must be a priority in our lives. You've got to make time for what's important to you and is of what is of most priority. This was Jesus' final command, and Jesus' final command must be my first priority and must be yours too. So I've got to invest in people. I've got to invite other people into an intentional relationship for discipleship. So you might say, well, how do I get started doing this? You might want to start small. Some of you, you might think, wow, this is a new concept to think about meeting with somebody weekly for the purpose of intentionally talking about my own discipleship with Jesus. So you might want to start small. And if you start small, I would say just find one other person, not your spouse, and someone that is of your same gender. Find one other person and ask them if they will commit to meet with you once a week regularly for 60 to 90 minutes for the specific purpose of doing nothing but looking at Scripture, talking about your discipleship and forming your life around Scripture and pursuing the Jesus life. Now, if you want to go full bore, I think even better than just a one-on-one is to invite 3 or 4 other people to join your group. No more than 5, because if you go beyond 5, it starts to become like a small group and you start losing sharing, you start losing accountability. All of that decreases. So you can invite 3 to 4 other people and agree upon a time and a place, maybe before work, early in the morning. maybe on Saturday morning for breakfast, maybe during a weekday or at a restaurant or in your home or even here at the church building or at the public library, but find a place and make a commitment to meet weekly with those people and invest in them relationally for the purpose of discipleship, to discuss your own discipleship walk with Jesus, to share your struggles, to celebrate your victories, to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, to confess your sins one to another and pray for one another, to look at Scripture and look at real life following Jesus' principles and encourage each other to pursue it. Now, what that means is, well, you say, well, what would you do? What would you do if you started a group like this? What would happen in a discipleship group? Well, let me just give you a glimpse of what would happen. First of all, a lot of thanksgiving would happen. It's a good place to start. You get together weekly for an hour, or better yet, an hour and a half is a better time frame. Get together with these people in your discipleship group that you decide to self-start. And you say, well, what we're going to do when we first get together is we're going to go around the circle and everybody take a turn and say, what are you thankful to God for this week? And open up and share. And then you move into intercession. And you say, okay, let's go around the circle again. What significant challenge are you personally facing in your life right now or in your family or in your world? And share that. And then spend time praying for one another, celebrating the Thanksgiving and asking for God's help in the challenges, and get real about your discipleship. And then by praying for each other, you hold each other accountable. Make commitments that I want to grow in a specific area of my discipleship, and I need you to hold me accountable and check on me to make sure I am moving forward in that particular area. But you got to center it around Scripture. Centered around Scripture, because you can get together and talk all day long, but if you're not centering your discipleship around Scripture, then you're not going to be made into a disciple. So I want to introduce you to a concept that's called Discovery Bible Study Method. This method is being used in churches all over the world to great success in foreign countries. Many, many people are being made into disciples using this method. And basically what you do is you say, we're going to choose a short passage of Scripture this week. And by picking this short passage of Scripture, we're going to have somebody in the group read it aloud for us all to hear. And then after that happens, and somebody else, read it again, maybe from another translation. And let's sit at the feet and absorb what is being said. And then somebody in their own words, from memory, retell the story, retell the passage. Move the Scripture off of the pages into the heart and look people in the eye and retell the story of what this passage is saying. And then spend some time finding a concept about discipleship directly from that passage that you will make a commitment to specifically practice and try to engage in this week. For instance, you might look at a passage and say, well, we see Jesus is telling us if we're going to be true disciples, we need to learn to love our enemies. So this week, I want to share with you guys, there's somebody in my life that I've been having major conflict with, and I have a hard time getting along with them. But this week, I'm going to make an effort to love my enemy the way Jesus told me to. And next week, when we come together, I want you guys to ask me how I'm doing in that specific instance of loving my enemy. Or God calls us to forgive one another, and I want to make a commitment this week to forgive someone, to love someone the way that God loves me. I want to give to the needy. I want to reject anxiety by trusting more in the Lord. I want to share my faith with somebody. It's an endless list of areas that we could mature in our discipleship. But pick a specific one and share it in the group and say, I want you to help me to live this out in a specific way. Share your specific plan with the group. Then go out and practice it and then come back and talk about it the next week. And you check on each other during the week and hold each other accountable. Say, how's it going? How's it coming? Can I pray for you? Can I help you in some way by sharing the adventure of discipleship from the previous week with each other? So you see, focusing on the mission of making disciples means also, as we've seen in this series, Jesus said, follow me, be my disciple, and I will make you to be fishers of people. Sometimes we get in groups and we're starting to be fed and encouraged, and we like to stay there. We like to stay comfortable. But if we're going to be disciple makers, in our discipleship groups that I'm exploring this concept with you. Then at a certain point in time, after you've been together 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, you get to a point where you look at each other and you say, now's the time. And each one of us is going to go out and we're going to all form our own discipleship groups and find other people that need this too, and go and lead a group yourself of others and multiply. Because why? Disciples make disciples. Okay, so that's, I hope you've gotten somewhat of a picture, but you, I know you're sitting there. Some of you are still like, what is he talking about? And some of us, no matter how much I describe this to you, you'll never understand it until you see it. And so I want to share with you something that will help you to see it. This is a 3-minute video that will introduce you so you can see for yourself the concept of discipleship groups.
I am a part of a discipleship group that started in January, and I have committed for the entire year along with 8 other women and a leader.
I have been given the opportunity to meet every week with a group of ladies.
I have really enjoyed being part of a discipleship group this year.
We look at scriptures together and are accountable to one another. We pray together. It is really making a difference in my life, I can tell, because I'm much more intentional in my Bible reading, because I know each week I'm coming back with the same group of girls to discuss and learn together and grow.
I'm a counselor at a college, and one of the beautiful things is being able to use those paths, one of the most precious parts of the group to me.
It's easy to think memorizing scriptures, reading the Bible through in a year, all of that can seem a little bit intimidating, doing homework questions. But what's so neat about it is the more you get into it, you realize you do have time for this, and it becomes something that I look forward to every week to get to meet with them.
But it's just deeper that we're able to really be into God's Word together, so we're able to discuss how that impacts our own lives.
So I know that being in a discipleship group is definitely making an impact and changing me, and I just am so thankful for the opportunity to be with these girls every week.
So I want to highlight several things that they talked about in this video. I wanted you to get kind of a bird's eye view in what this concept looks like. Let me just highlight several things that were said. We look at scriptures, we pray together, and are accountable to one another. It's impossible to do that in a large group. It's impossible to do that even in a Bible class. It's very challenging, if not impossible, even do that in a small group. But in a group of 3 to 5 people, you can hold each other accountable. You can be, as she says in one of the parts of the video, I am much more intentional in my Bible reading because each week I'm coming back with that same group of girls. One person said, more than just reading the Bible together, we're holding each other accountable to living in intentional community. Another said, though I've been a part of a Bible study group before, I've never had the accountability that I have with these girls. Another said, it's not really surface friendship like in other Bible studies I've been a part of. And then another said, the more that you get into this, the more you realize that you do have time for this. Disciple making happens when you're getting real. Real life discipleship. What I'm sharing with you today is not a program that we're planning on launching at the Maryville Church. You're not going to hear some announcement about, join a discipleship group today. Not at all. This is an idea that I'm giving to you as an individual. Just like Jesus said to his 12, now go and make disciples. I'm trying to provide you a doable, easy idea, and then say to you, go and make disciples. And be involved in it. Now you might say, well, how do I get started doing that? Well, I want to tell you there's already some people in this church that are meeting in these kind of groups. For the last 2 months, we've had 4 different discipleship groups that have been meeting. And they're among you right now. Some of you are smiling at me from the audience because you know exactly what this is like and the value of it because you've been doing it for the last 2 months. And you know the difference it's making in your life. But if you want to get started, you want more information, if you need some tools or some guidance about, well, I want to do this, but how do I get started? What would I do? What would be my plan? I want to talk to you. And so you can give me an email, send me an email. You see the email on the board here, or you can pass me a note at the end of the service and say, please, let's talk some more about this. I want to know how to get started. And if you're ready and you want to do this, you really are ready to embrace the mission Jesus gave you to go and make disciples, this is a great way to get started. And so in a couple of weeks, I'm planning on meeting with a group of people to give some instruction, some training, some guidance, and some tools about how to start your own discipleship group and then send you loose to go make disciples. So please send me an email or send me a note, and I'll put you on that list, and we'll get together and we'll talk more about it. I really want to encourage you to think seriously about being involved in your own maturing as a disciple and then going out and making disciples of other people too. Let us be a church of disciple makers by being involved in each other's lives and investing in relationships and doing real life discipleship. Becoming a disciple begins by you choosing to embrace a real life relationship with Jesus. You may be sitting there this morning and you know you've never started that path. And I want to say to you today, now is the day, today is the day to be born again of water and the Spirit. To be made a disciple of Jesus by being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and begin your journey of learning the teachings of Jesus, learning about the Jesus life and putting it into practice. Not just filling your head with religious knowledge, but actually filling your life and your actions and the behaviors and habits of who you are as a person with the Jesus life. And being His disciple and following and apprenticing your life after His every day. Are you ready to start the journey if you've not? Or maybe you say, you know, I've been a consumer Christian for too long. I've never really gone all in for Jesus. And I need the prayers of encouragement from my fellow disciples and believers in this church. If we can pray with you and for you, I'd encourage you to come forward, or you can have prayer privately in the library with just a small few of men that'll pray with you and help you and listen to you. We've got plenty of avenues for you to pursue your discipleship, and today is the day to begin or to restart that journey. If we can help you, make your need known as we all stand together and as we sing.